Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, actor Christian Malmeen talks about donating his kidney to his father.
And then he gets the okay to be the recipient of a donation. So even though it's like, I'm his son, there's no guarantee that I would be a match. So then all the testing started. My dad, you know, did kind of say a little, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope.
Today on the show, actor Christian Malmeen and I share stories about our right kidneys. Finally, stay close.
Hey, it's Christian Malmeen, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. Now, whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you guys enjoyed the story last week with actor Paul Votto. Christian?
Yes?
Did you listen to the show with Paul Votto?
Yes, I did.
And he's an interesting guy, isn't he?
Very, yeah.
I thought it was, you know, we went down this whole Vegas path that I didn't see us going down, but
you
loved
did.
It.
You talked about Vegas for a while, and
yeah,
that's cool.
Because he knows so much about it.
I was just going to say, you know, kind of the older classic, historic Vegas,
yeah,
and
I
that
know.
Was interesting.
And I've been there 1,000 times, but I don't always get the inside, you know, the inside scoop. So that was really interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway, so go back, you guys. Listen to Paul Votto's story. By the way, he talked about getting recognized.
Yes.
You know, because he's on TV. Now, this is interesting because, of course, you've been on 1,000 television shows, Christian Malmeen.
I wish.
No, but you've done a
maybe
lot of...
Maybe hundreds of dozens.
You've done a lot of acting. Have you gotten recognized?
A few times, but
yeah.
It's been a long time.
And so where would it be? Like in a restaurant or something?
Yeah, at a restaurant, at a club. Back, you know, in my way younger days,
yeah.
Like in college.
Yeah.
Like at a grocery store one time, because I was in a play. I was in hundreds of plays in college. But like, you know, the community sees it. And there were these two very, very young girls that were like, peeking around the aisles, and they were like pointing
like
at me
blushing.
And giggling and then running away. And
you're like blushing.
Am I?
But wait a minute. You were only like 21, 22. So how young could they be?
Well, they were clearly like in maybe elementary school. Or,
oh,
you know,
my
like
gosh.
That.
They were girls.
Right. But it was just it was like.
Well, that's not an exciting, you know, getting
no,
recognized.
No. It was, you know, it was just like, there's that guy who was in that play.
I see what you're saying.
He's in the grocery store.
That's cute.
You know? But yeah, it was.
That's
adorable.
Cute. But not because you have done so much work on soap operas specifically.
Well, thank you.
And so if you're in the soap opera world, you know they do those conventions and stuff. They tour around with soap opera stars.
Mm-hmm.
Would that fit your bill, or as it were?
Currently, not so much.
Yeah. But
yeah.
When you were doing more of it.
Yeah. I have some Days of Our Lives credits,
yeah.
And they were from some years ago. And I did do... during that time, I did a little meet and greet for an event, and I was my picture part was it was part of the storyline. It was in a lot of the not tabloids, but the soap opera publications that
That's
are at your local
funny.
Supermarket.
That's gotta
so
be
I
a
could,
laugh.
I could go and like turn to page 22.
Yeah, that's got to be a laugh.
I mean, not that I did that to, like, just random checkers or anything.
Hey, Christian, listen, I want to tell you about these new pants I found called Beta Brand.
Mm-hmm.
They're yoga pants, but they look like dress. They look like dress pants, so they call them dress pant yoga pants, and they're fantastic. They feature ultra comfy styles designed to be comfortable and to impress. They've got a wrinkle resistant 4-way stretch knit fabric, and they're designed exactly like dress pants, right? But they have faux zippers, faux pockets, faux front buttons, and belt loops. Here's the best part about it. Beta Brand comes in all shapes and sizes and tastes. They've got boot cut, straight leg, skinny, cropped. I like boot cut. That's like my favorite brand
mm-hmm.
of pants. And then they've got all sorts of colors like black, navy, gray, khaki. And there's also seasonal and limited edition colors released monthly. So there's 4 lengths to choose from, like I said. And then there's even styles that feature functional pockets, which is great because who doesn't want pockets, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like Compared to other jeans and pants, Beta brand really, really stands out. I mean, look, I could do a split. Like, I could just do a split right now. I don't have, if I had jeans on, there's no way I'm going to go down and do a split. But with these Beta brand yoga pants, you can do exactly that. And I always look like I'm put together, especially when I go to like my daughter's school or whatever. It's like, I got it going on. And mothers are looking at me like, where are your sweatpants? And I'm like, I'm not wearing sweatpants. I'm wearing these Beta brand yoga pants. They're fantastic. So here's the thing, you guys. If you visit betabrand.com/storyworthy, all lowercase, you'll get 20% off your Beta brand yoga pants. Again, it's betabrand.com/storyworthy, all lowercase, and you'll get 20% off. Betabrand.com, BETABRAND.com/storyworthy, and you're going to get 20% off your dress pant yoga pants. Christian, if you have any special ladies in your life, they're going to love these. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then. Well, listen, I am here with you today, Christian Malmeen. You are an actor, but I know you from Facebook. And the reason why I wanted to have you on the show so much is because you bring forth the topic, my right kidney.
True.
Finally.
You have a story as well.
Well, I'm just saying, I've been doing this show for almost 9 years. Nobody ever wants to talk about their right kidney.
So I am your first living organ donor?
And here you are.
Is that what you're saying?
So exciting.
I am honored.
Yeah. So, and like, you know, like I said, now my kidney, though, I had cancer. Mm. And so you don't have to make a puppy face.
Well, I mean,
I'm
know,
here.
You, that's the important, yes, that is the important thing. You're talking to me right here,
the
right now.
The point is you gave your kidney to your dad. So anyway, I'm anxious to hear this story. So
okay.
It's two different kidney stories, as if there's not enough to go around. You know, every week people just want to talk about nephrology and urology.
Yes.
Listen, we're all learning here.
We are. That's what this is for, isn't it?
And I wore my kidney necklace for you.
I'm just now focusing on it and
see
noticing
that?
It. Fabulous.
Exactly. So my sister, when I had to, when they took my kidney out, my sister gave me this beautiful sterling silver, it's not Tiffany, but it looks like Tiffany, necklace. Anyway, I still wear it all the time. So that's my memory of a kidney. And now here
awesome.
You are. I don't live my life any differently from when I had two kidneys to one kidney. Do you live your life any differently?
No, not really. Try to have as good of a diet as I can.
Yeah.
But I've always been real active and, you know, exercise-wise and activity-wise. And all I'm just try to drink a lot more water than I have before.
Yeah.
And I don't really think about it.
I don't think
much.
About it either. And I drink a lot of water, but it's not because of that. It's just because I drink a lot
right.
of water.
Just because you should and for all.
Yeah. I like clear pee, you know, in general. But sometimes when I take vitamins, then it's yellow. Then the pee gets so yellow. What is that?
That's graphic conversation. It's so early in the podcast.
I don't know.
That's fine.
I don't think it's,
no.
I think it's okay.
It's biology. And it's, well, because, you know, if your urine is just water or coffee or beer, then it's...
Yeah,
but if
exactly.
you're enriching your system with vitamins and minerals,
see,
then...
now you sound like the kind of guy like I am who likes to find new products and stuff, like discover new products and stuff.
Always.
I do too. Recently, I just received the Spring FabFitFun box. And let me tell you something, Christian Malmeen. It is super, super fun. I'm telling you, I absolutely love this box. There's so many great things in here. Do you have anybody in your life, any women in your life that are special?
I have some family in Minnesota. I have stepmother, stepsister.
This is the most amazing gift. It's the best thing you could ever give anyone. It comes 4 times a year, and every box is guaranteed to have over $200 plus in a retail value. In fact, this spring box that I just got has a total retail value of over $347. So the point is, it's a fantastic value. Some of my favorite things that I just got in the new spring box were the Quay, I think you say Quay, Australia My Girl sunglasses. They're really, really cute. They've got like this black hardware and these metal accents, and they look kind of like cat-eyed, which I love. Those are super cute. And then I also got this really cool water bottle. It's right behind you. Look on your left.
See
that?
It.
It's like a good-looking stainless steel water bottle. And I'm all about new water bottles, number one. I just like getting new ones because I use them so much. But also, I love the idea of stainless steel. So that's fun. And then there's a jump rope by Venus Williams. That's right. Venus Williams put out a jump rope. So that's super fun. And then there's all sorts of really exciting products that are not only things that I wouldn't have known of otherwise, but they're full size. So they give you like a long time and a good chance to actually experience the product. You know what I mean? Like get to know the product and if you like it or not. Because if you just get a little sample, how do you know?
Right. You got to try before you buy.
That's what I'm saying, Christian Malmeen. And if you guys go to fabfitfun.com today and use my code STORYWORTHY, you will get $10 off your first box. So instead of $49.99 a box, it's only $39.99 a box. I'm telling you, this FabFitFun box is so much fun. It's a great gift to give to, like you said, a stepsister or whoever.
Whoever.
It's a great gift. It's like a really cool care package if you have a kid in college or you're thinking of your mom far away or your sister. And again, if you use the promo code STORYWORTHY, you'll get $10 off. So again, fabfitfun.com and use the promo code STORYWORTHY. And you will not only be supporting me, you're going to be giving somebody a really great gift. So you do like these sunglasses, don't you?
Yes, very much.
Thank you. I knew you would.
And may I add something?
Please, please do.
Stainless steel water bottle?
Yeah.
They get your water really cold when you put them in the fridge.
Dude, I
colder
totally
than
know.
Plastic. Yeah.
I take them to the tennis court, and when I take a break and I'm ready for water, like I'm so happy because it's super cold.
Yeah.
Like instead of, it was always just before like plastic, like the sun is like baking plastic into the water, and you're like, who knows what you're drinking anyway. Mm-hmm. So stainless steel is just a better way to go, but also it's easier to wash. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And anyway, yeah, I'm into it. So FabFitFun, you guys, you're going to love it. All right, so listen, we're going to get to your story here, Christian, which I'm super excited about. My right kidney, who knew? But before we get to Christian's story, I wanted to remind you guys to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at StoryWorthy. That's it. I have to tell you, I really enjoy Twitter. Now, I know you said you're not a big Twitter fan, Christian.
My verbatim quote was, I am not on Twitter.
Interesting.
Yeah, just to make the record clear on the Twitter.
But you've never gone on it to just hang out and look on Twitter?
Things get regurgitated to other sources about what people said on Twitter and then what somebody retweeted
on
Twitter.
What is your go-to when you go to social media? What do you go to? Do you throughout the day, what would you go to?
FB, Facebook, baby. That's my main thing. I mean, you know, not my only thing, but it's my main thing.
Is that right? Yes. Interesting. I like Twitter because it's the news. It's the fastest news you're going to get. I mean, it's faster than Google News. It's faster than anything happening is what is going on Twitter because it's so instant.
That's right.
So I like that part of it. And I also like brevity and I like funny. Facebook, it seems like a little bit watered down.
Okay.
You know what I mean? With more puppies and it's okay. I'm just saying it's a whole different thing. So, but I don't not go to Facebook every day. I do. I go to Facebook every day. So, you know.
Read the headlines. You skim through the paper. You read the headlines. Sometimes you read the story and the picture.
A little bit. But Twitter, I'm on more like a mad woman. I don't know.
That's cool. That's cool.
But I enjoy it. It's super fun. And I don't know. Maybe it's also my, because most people now are on Instagram. That seems to be the biggest.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's something else even. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I'm Instagram too.
Definitely aging myself here, but you know.
That's okay.
That's what happens. All right, you guys, he's here right now.
Aging gracefully.
And thank you.
You're welcome.
Christian Malmeen, you guys, he is an actor, like I said, whose TV and credits include the reoccurring role of Mr. Gray on General Hospital. You've been on True Blood, Days of Our Lives, The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, The Young and the Restless, and all sorts of other shows. And your voice, I can tell your voice is so rich. And sure enough, you've done all sorts of games, Medal of Honor and Call of Duty. Do you play those games as well or like no way?
No.
Yeah. I've done a couple of games as well and I've never played them either.
Yeah.
I tried this one, but I could never get to my level. You know what I mean? Where my voice was.
It's so frustrating when you can't get to your level.
I'm telling you. And your film credits include Harry Shearer's Teddy Bear Picnic and David Zucker's Basketball.
Basketball. That is true.
Yeah. All right. And then you're also, this is interesting, an accomplished drummer and percussionist. And you've worked with comedians like Seth MacFarlane and Alex Borenstein, Wayne Brady. And that's, that's nice to be able to serve that part of your life as well then, isn't it?
Thank you. Yes, it is. I've been playing drums since I cannot remember. I mean, little kid with chopsticks on the furniture and cardboard boxes.
So great.
So, and always been doing it. might be about my biggest passion.
Yeah.
Is music and drums.
Do you have a drum kit set up at your home?
Yeah, I have. I've accumulated 3 drum sets at this point.
Nice.
And one of them is fully set up at the home. Yes.
That's great. You guys can find Christian over there on Facebook and also on YouTube at Christian Malmin, M-A-L-M-I-N. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Christian Malmin.
Oh, thank you. Oh, that's a warm welcome, and it's deeply appreciated. All right, so here's the story. Here's, first of all, the exposition. So years ago, my dad was having back problems, and so go to the doctor, get an MRI to see what's wrong with his back. And while they're doing, you know, they figured out, oh, here's the problem. It's a nerve getting blah, blah, blah. But then the doctor said, but there's another problem I need to tell you about. You got a mass on your right kidney. And, you know, jump cut to, yeah, it's cancerous. We better get rid of it. And, you know, it's better to just to take out the whole kidney because it's such a delicate thing. And many, many reasons, but it's a lot easier just to take out the whole kidney, take care of it. You can rock and roll with one kidney. You'll be fine. So it's like, okay, they'll do it. And the whole thing was that if it had not been for the back problem, they wouldn't have known about the kidney problem so early and could take care of it so easily. Because a lot of, with, I don't know your experience, but what he was told, a lot of times with kidney cancer, you don't get many symptoms, and they kind of don't know till it's really, really bad. And by that time, it may have spread to other parts. So this little problem with his back, in some ways, saved his life. At least led to discovering this early and starting this story that I'm telling you now. So he had the kidney taken out. Everything, operation was a success. Things were cool, but then the remaining left kidney started to not pull its weight. Not doing its job. And so he had to go into dialysis, which was kind of a drag. And that was 3 times a week he had to do that. And ended up having to do it for about 4 years. One time I was visiting him in Minnesota, and I accompanied him to one of his sessions. And it's, you know, it's just sitting around, and it's not the most fun. So years go by, he's cancer-free, and then he gets the okay to be the recipient of a donation, and everything's cool. However, he's an older guy, and he would not be at the top of the list for receiving donations at all, unless he could get a direct donor. So that's where things were at that point. And now, I was approached, and initially, I kind of misunderstood the information I was given, thinking that because of a direct descendant, it would kind of be an automatic match, but that is not the case. So even though it's like I'm his son, there's no guarantee that I would be a match. So then all the testing started, which was a very long process. There were many, many tests that had to be done, and I was doing them all here in Los Angeles, and they were basically, you know, the medical facility was mailing my vials of blood, etc., to the hospital in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And this was about, you know, and it kept going that, okay, well, you passed that, but now there's this other stuff. You want to keep going? Sure. All right. And then, you know, and there were so many, and it was all throughout the course of this whole year that it was like, okay, well, if I pass that, might as well see if I'm going to pass the next one. And that went on until finally, I just had to be there in person, like some MRIs and some direct, et cetera, et cetera. Went through all the medical tests, right. But there was also a psychiatric test with many, many questions that you had to fill out, basically just to see if you were too crazy to go through an experience like this. So they refer to this test by a special name, which I can't remember now, but it was like pages and pages of questions, like 260-something questions. Yeah. But then sometimes they would ask a question like, have you ever never not done a thing that you wish you did but you hadn't? With all these like triple negatives, and it'd be like, wait, what are you asking? What do you want to know here? And so did all that. One of the things that a doctor did tell me that weekend when I was doing all these tests in private said, now, if you don't want to do this, if you want to back out, just say so, and we'll tell them that you weren't a match. And you don't have to, you know. But I couldn't do that, especially I'd come that far. When I was leaving on that trip at the airport saying goodbye, my dad, you know, did kind of say a little, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope. You know, like, don't back out on me now. But it's like, well, it's really not up to me, but I'm in it. If whatever they say, I'm going to go with it. So go back to L.A. I find out August 2nd that I was a match and we can do it. So scheduled the surgery for August 23rd. So the light was green and it's a go. So preparing for that trip and knowing that I was going to be out of town for a while. So getting things together. And the day before I flew back to Minnesota, I went and got a mohawk because I just that's how I roll. No, it was, it's kind of a thing on my bucket list. I knew that I would have a month with nothing to do except sort of just hang out and heal and let it grow back out. And then the other, I have kind of an odd sense of humor, but, and I knew everything was going to be totally fine. Nothing would go wrong, but just in case, in the minutest possibility that something did go wrong, that's what I wanted in the open casket. Me with a mohawk. I know that's kind of dark, right? But it'd be so punk rock. Then flew out the next day on the Sunday. Got then on the Monday, which we're talking August 22nd now, spent the first half day in the hospital prepping, doing, you know, stuff that what to expect. And I met my surgeon, who was a woman doctor, much younger than me, and was totally cool, had a great sense of humor. And we sat down and we were looking then at the scan of me from the MRI on the computer with the 3D thing of like, that's me. And we're doing a little tour around my insides. And I said, hey, by the way, which one are you going to take, the right or the left? And she said, that's an excellent question. Let's decide right now. So we're looking at my kidneys on the computer. And she said, okay, well, look at the left one. There's like a whole mess of arteries and veins and look like unkept shrubbery. You know, but then as opposed, look at your right one. Oh, it's just a couple of main cables going to there. Let's take the right. It's going to be a lot easier. Okay. Great. I was glad I was there for that decision. And then we were looking around. She explained to me that it would be the laparoscopic surgery, kind of minimal cuttings, and showing me that, you know, there'd be a little small incision here, then a very, very small incision here. They put in their tools, cameras, lights, and they can do it all from that. But then she said, but I am going to have to cut you open because I got to pull out your guts first. And then I got to go in there and take the kidney. And then I'm going to put all your guts back in and sew you up. And it's like, okay, cool. Well, how big is that incision going to be? And she held up her hand and kind of squeezed it down, condensed her hand and fingers, and just went, about that big. You know, she just said, you're lucky I got small hands. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. And so that was that. The next day was the day, and it had already started, you know, no eating and, you know, no drinking and all that stuff. And the best way that I can relate it all was that I had a really, really early call time to be on set. You know, so got up really early, and you know, like when you're driving to the set and it's still totally dark outside, and it was summer, so you know it's really early. So, you know, I got to the set, check in with the second AD, do some paperwork. I get shown to my dressing room. My wardrobe's already in there, and I change into my costume, and then I just hang out in the holding area there, basically. They wheel me into the room, and everybody's there, and it looks like just like it does on TV with the lights, and machines, everybody's in masks. And I remember like Joe Gideon in All That Jazz saying, mumbling out loud, "It's showtime, folks." And then they put the mask on me and they said, "Okay, take a couple of deep breaths." And I went and fell asleep immediately. I was out. And so, okay, so then eventually I'll just get to the good part. Eventually I did wake up. Everything was fine. I was a couple days in the hospital, two nights in the hospital. Things were cool. And then I went home. And the night of the surgery, I do remember they had me get up and take a lap around the hallways, pushing my little stand with the IVs, because they said, you got to start walking and get the circulation right away, and you need to not just lay around. But when I got back home, you know, folks had the dog. I was always walking the dog and just slowly getting better. And
so where was your dad during your surgery?
He was in his own room because they went and worked on me first. He had to wait. But then once they were finished with me, they brought him in and then started all the transplant process.
So you weren't in the same room at any time?
No.
So they take the kidney like on ice or something and they run it over to the other room where he's at?
Yeah.
Same hospital.
Yeah.
Different doctors, obviously.
Yeah. And then they wheeled him into, you know, wheeled him in, or however they transported it.
Well, they'd have to be like cleaning the equipment.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, your blood and everything, but they can't not clean the stuff.
Right. It wasn't right. They didn't.
So then you got home 2 days later, and then you basically just healed and you're fine.
Yeah.
It's just so interesting because, you know, when I, you know, not bringing it to me, but I'm just saying, you know, when I lost my kidney, it was because of cancer, but there was so much more involved. You
right.
know what I mean? And so there was so many more CAT scans and all sorts of medical things I had to deal with. And that was so nice that you just healed. So that really goes to show that you just need one kidney.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. And I was very fortunate and grateful that it was a pretty painless and easy healing process for me.
Yeah, it sounds like it, the way it should be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It sounds like the way they told you it would be and then the way it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty great. And then your dad, tell us, they put your kidney in him and now what?
That he also, the kidney is still doing great. It's still doing what it's supposed to be doing. He had a little bit of a more intense healing process.
Sure.
But I think being older, and he had much bigger scars for them to do all that business. They couldn't just do a laparoscopic thing to him.
Of course, yeah.
And then plus, you know, lots of medication for anti-rejection stuff.
So are you guys close, your dad and you?
Yes.
That's so nice. I mean, he must
No, I haven't
like,
talked to him since. What? No. We always like, been very close
that
and
must bond
very, very
you.
Close.
Doesn't that bond you?
That's another...
Your organ.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, we were bonded pretty good before, but that does, you know, add a whole nother element of like...
Really?
You're using my kidney. It's still there. It's still working.
Yeah.
Right on.
I think that's amazing. And how big is your scar? Because you just held up your hand, but I didn't understand. Your scar is like 3 inches?
Well, maybe off the air I'll show you. No, I'm done.
We'll compare kidney scars.
No. There's a little dot here, a little dot here, and then kind of below my belly button.
And that's
you know,
it.
It's about like maybe,
Not
what
much.
Is that, four
yeah.
inches?
Yeah.
3 or 4 inches, because that's where all the business had to take place. But
yeah, mine was
but it's
like
fine.
Huge. Like mine's yeah. like 8 inches across, like the flank. It's a whole, not the flank,
yeah.
the front, the abdomen. The flank right. is the back. Anyway, it's been a lot of fun talking about kidneys with you, Christian.
But your scar is a conversation starter.
Yeah,
and,
well, let
you
me
know.
Tell you, if you see my scar, we've already been talking. It wouldn't be the conversation starter.
Right. It's the badge of honor,
yeah,
more
right.
like it.
That's what people say, right?
Yeah.
By the way, that must have been interesting looking at your insides on that MRI and
it was.
Seeing your... I just can't believe how much they let you in on the process. I mean, that was really cool. I guess because you weren't sick. It was
Correct.
More like they were just like dissecting you to take out that one thing or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So you were able to be in the room with the doctor looking at those images and thinking like, well, what do you think? Oh, I see. There's, you know, a tangle of arteries here and not here. That's
how the
wild,
decision
man.
Was made between right and left.
That's just wild that you had such a close-up look at all that.
Yeah. And so, I was just going to say, and just coincidence that his right one went and my right one went to him. I mean, it could have been either one of them.
Oh, I see.
Left or right.
You could have put your left in his right or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not like shoes. Kidneys aren't like shoes.
Correct.
Although it kind of looks like they are because the whole bean shape.
Yeah.
But I guess that bean could be flipped. So it looks like you have two C's in your abdomen.
Right.
Or you know what I mean?
A nice fluffy slipper.
Yeah. It's kind of blowing my mind.
Yeah.
So listen, do you like the acting in soap operas?
I loved it.
And it was a lot of dialogue, right? A lot of content.
Yes. I had, the most recent was General Hospital. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I did about a half dozen shows. And as they went along, I did get more and more lines per scene, which was great. But by like, you know, the last couple of scenes, I had a lot of lines to learn.
So,
but that was part of the excitement.
There's no teleprompter.
No. Or at least not for me. No, yeah. I didn't see any.
Yeah, so you did have to memorize. So what if you messed up? Did you go try to improv? Like if you were to mess up, forget your line, would you just yell out line and then have to cut? Or do you try to improv out of it?
Either one of those scenarios could have happened, but fortunately it did not.
Yeah.
Yeah. On one... my final scene was kind of a big boardroom scene with a lot of different characters and scenes. So there was one time right in the middle of something, there was just a word, you know, good like three or four syllable word, and I just blanked. And it was just, okay, stop, go back. And we just started over and then went through. But everything else I did was one take.
And so, wow, it's just one take. That's all you get, as it were. They're not going to let you get, you know, they're moving so quickly to shoot, yeah?
True. If one take is good, moving on. I mean, it's not like that's so all you intense. Get, but if that's all they need, it's like, okay, that was good. All right, so next.
As an actor, is that satisfying or is it fleeting? Like, or do you not care? You don't hold on to it. It's not your job. You know what I mean? You know, like if you're doing a play, you put so much weight on the auditioning and all the time. But if you're doing something what you're describing, like a soap opera specifically.
Yeah.
There's no weight on it, or because in other words, you've got to memorize it. That's got to take time, and then you take all this time to memorize, and then you do it one time, and maybe in your heart you're like, "I could do it better. I could do it better. I just want to try one more thing." And they're like, "Move it on."
Hmm. Yeah, I think in the case of okay, you've got another day tomorrow or whatever, then it's like, okay, great. Now you just move on to the next scene and the next set of lines and start memorizing those. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, being a performer, you are so much like, if you're working, you don't want it to end, but it does, and you know it will. So then you just try to start focusing on getting another thing. And then when you do, you're focusing on the next thing. And
Yeah. And so it just keeps repeating itself. In other words, there's no real satisfaction at the end because every show ends.
True.
Every production ends. Every job ends.
True. But I still hold it dear in my heart because, you know, I was so grateful for the experience and it was a good memory.
Yeah.
So, you know, in holding on to it in that way.
You're still acting.
Yes.
Yeah. So have you had the same agent forever or do you change over the years or?
I've had a manager for quite a while. I've had the commercial agent now, been with a few years.
Yeah.
And was with the other one for years and, you know, but I'm pretty loyal.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I have one agent that I've only been with like three agents here in LA in 20 years, but really even two that have been significant.
Okay.
And I kind of trust them because a lot of it, though, is at the end of the day, in my opinion, you kind of have to make your own way anyway. And so that the casting director calls your agent, they're really just a middleman, though. And they're not necessarily getting you the job. You got yourself the job or you got yourself in the door because it's something you did or something you already, you know, they've seen. And so it's the casting director isn't necessarily calling your agent. They want you, but they got to go through your agent.
True.
I'm just saying.
In several cases, that is the case. Yeah.
Yeah. In several cases. I mean, in other words, and I guess it depends. I was just thinking because you're pretty, you know, you've done so much acting that you might have an opinion on that. I don't know.
Yeah.
No big deal.
It's really just constantly looking forward and trying to...
It's the grind.
Yeah, it's the grind. It's the grind.
Yeah, and, it's always engaging, moving forward, trying. There's a lot in our power, so I think that's why it's important. You know what I mean? There's a lot you can do on your own now without agents and managers, so it's like people do it. You know, it's the hustle.
Like telling a story on Storyworthy and getting some ears on me.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so thank you, Christine.
All right, you guys, I got to wrap it up. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. You can find Christian Malmeen over there on Facebook. Let him know that you liked his story. And then, of course, find me over there on Facebook as well. Why not? I'm not necessarily going to get back to you, but why not? If you really want to get in contact with me, at Storyworthy on Twitter. That's where I like to be. Anyway, you guys, thank you so much again for tuning in, and a big thank you to the sponsors on the show today. Really, you guys, when you support my sponsors, you're supporting me, and I am grateful. Thank you. One more time, on behalf of the very talented and funny, you are funny, Christian Malmeen.
Thank you.
My name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story worthy.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.